You are listening to the gospel message in both Chinese and English. The co-workers of Living in Jesus Ministries edited the sermons of the Chinese preachers, and you can understand how the Oriental believers explained the Bible. May God bless your new life in the Lord.
So today many churches, they overemphasize the importance of drawing and attracting people to their church.
但是我想一定是很重要的一件事情。
I'm sure it is very important.
但是若是这一个吸引的一种心态, 使得我们不平衡, 没有同时有一个 missional的一个看见的话, 我想这个不是神的心意吧。
But if we do not balance the attractional focus with the missional focus, and I don't think that is the heart of God.
所以我们看到这边首先是因着他们的四散福音才临到了安提阿的教会。
So here we get to see that the disciples were being scattered, therefore the gospel reached Antioch.
其实我们今天晚上没有时间, 但是我们也可以一起来探讨为什么他们四散。
Tonight we don't have the time, but actually otherwise we can see why they were scattered.
当然其实很容易, 是因为他们遭患难才四散的。
The answer is very easy. It's because they have been persecuted.
是不是在这边我们也看到有的时候神似乎要用的一个方法才使得他的教会四散呢？
So is this sometimes God has to use persecution in order for his people to scatter?
当教会不愿意出去的时候，上帝常常大概需要用一些比较强烈的方法把我们推出去。
So when a church do not want to go out, sometimes God probably has to use some dramatic measure to send people out.
也在那个患难的当中，我们就看到福音能够被广传。
Therefore, during persecution, we get to see the gospel being spread.
我想其实我们若是看中国教会历史的话,
If we look at Chinese history, church
history, 我们很能够明显地看到这个道理的出现。
We can also see this truth being applied.
宣教师离开中国的时候,
When missionaries left China,
1949年、50年代初,
So around 1949 and 1950,
基督徒大概只有在70万左右。
So in China, there are about 700,000 Christians.
70万左右。
About 700,000.
这一个门就被关起来了。
And then the door of the gospel was closed.
很有意思，在那个时候，若是我们去看一些宣教文献的话。
If we look at some doctrines about mission at that time, literatures of mission at that time,
一些文献的话，我们会发现，其实那个时候有人在所谓讲预言。
So at that time, there were people prophesying.
说宣教师离开了。
The missionaries are leaving.
差会离开了。 And
the mission organizations left.
宗派离开了。 And
denominations left.
西方的钱也离开了。 And
even Western money have left.
大概教会。 中国的教会没有希望。There's
no more hope for Chinese church.
很多人认为这个中国的教会只会迈向没落，到最后面呢，会进入到像江青讲的，进入到博物馆的里面。So
they predicted that the church in China would start to deteriorate and fall, and probably would like what Jiang Qing, Chairman Mao's wife. Chairman Mao's wife predicted that Christianity will end up in museum.
我常常开玩笑，我说不是 Christianity in the museum, 是 Jiang Qing in a mausoleum. 这个不用翻了，没关系。听得懂就听得懂，听不懂就算了，没有。这个教会会越来越没落，到最后面会消失。So
they predicted that a church will start to deteriorate and eventually disappear.
当然我们有好多年我们实在是不了解中国教会的光景是怎么样。
So for many years, we do not know the condition of Chinese church.
但是到了80年代改革开放的时候,
But then after the 80s, when the door was once again opened,
我们发现不单单是中国的基督徒人数没有减少,
We discovered that not only the number of Christians did not decrease.
从70年到80年代到90一直到今天,
From the 70s, 80s until 90s until now.
我们看到中国教会的兴旺，人数的增长。
We see the revival of a Chinese church and the increase of Chinese Christians.
可以说是倍增性的增长。
It has that exponential growth.
今天中国有多少个基督徒没有一个人知道，只有上帝知道。
No one knows exactly how many Christians in China. Only God
knows. 但是一般最保守最保守也告诉我们在中国应该有7000万基督徒。
So the most conservative estimate is that there's probably 70 million Christians in China.
从70万到7000万。
From 700,000 to 70 million.
这是一个不得了的一个增长。
This is amazing growth.
而这个增长是怎么发生的？
How did this growth happen?
遭患难四散。
Through persecution and scattering of the saints.
遭患难四散。
Through persecution and scattering of the saints.
所以我们在这边看到安提阿会得听福音，教会的起手是因着四散而开始的。
So we get to see here, people in Antioch heard about the gospel and the start church was because of this scattering.
但我想在这边有另外一个很重要我们要注意到的原因。
Another reason that we need to pay attention to.
我不晓得刚刚我们读的时候大家有没有特别注意在第十九节跟第二十节有一个很强烈的一个对比。
There's a strong a contrast between verse 19 and 20.
这些四散的门徒他们到了安提阿，在第十九节最后一句话，那边路加描述他们指向犹太人讲。
At the end of verse 19, it says, the word was only preached to the Jews.
他们指向犹太人讲。
They only preached the word to the Jews.
但是到了第二十节，路加紧接着这样说。
But then immediately following verse 20,
有一些从居比路和古利奈的人，他们来到了安提阿。
Some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene.
然后注意下面他说什么。
And they came to Antioch, and then
他们也向希利尼人讲。
They spoke to the Hellenists.
他们也向希利尼人传讲主耶稣。
They also preached the gospel to the Greeks.
19节他们指向犹太人传福音。
At verse 19, they only preached the gospel to the Jews.
但是到了20节我们看到教会会增长也是因为他们同时也向希利尼人传福音。
But verse 20 shows us that a church was able to grow because they also preached the gospel to the Greeks.
若是你带着你自己的圣经，教会的圣经不要乱画，若是你带你自己的圣经，你不妨把指向跟也向把它圈起来。
But if you have your own Bible, then maybe you can mark only to the Jews and also spoke to the Hellenists.
我们看到有一群人他们去到了安提阿，十九节告诉我们他们的福音的意象仍然是被一种民族的这种自我为中心被他所捆绑住。
So verse 19 shows us that their vision of mission is still bound by their self-centered racial ethnic-centric vision.
所以当他们到了安提阿的时候。
So when they went to Antioch,
他们没有看到其实神的心意是要把这个福音传开，超越民族人群的一些不同的一些区别。
So actually they failed to see that God's heart was for them to preach the gospel, overcome the barrier of race.
他们到了安提阿，他们指向犹太人讲。
Therefore they only share the gospel to the Jews.
但是到了第二十节。
But then when it reached Verse 20,
我们却看到有另外的一群人呢，他们同时也来到了安提亚。
There was another group of people who also came to Antioch.
他们其实也是向犹太人传福音，对不对？
They also preach the gospel to the Jews.
不是的话就没有那个也字。
Otherwise, it would not say, oh, they also.
有那个也字就表示他们又把福音传给他们自己民族的人。
In other words, not only that they share the gospel to their fellow Jews.
但是他们同时也向希利尼人传讲主耶稣基督。
But then at the same time, they also share the gospel with the Jews, with the Greeks.
也就是在这边我们看到一个跨文化宣教传福音的一个图画。
Therefore, we get to see a picture of a cross-cultural mission.
即使今天晚上若是我们有一点点的时间。
So if we have some time.
我们可以回去看整个使徒行传。
We can go home and read the entire book of Acts.
因为我觉得其实这个跨文化宣教的这个主题在使徒行传里面其实是一个很重要的一个主题。
Actually, the theme of cross-cultural mission is a very important theme throughout the book of Acts.
我可以给大家很多的例子，但是今天晚上单单用一个例子，我想就可以清楚证明这是使徒行传里面的一个主轴。
Actually, there are many examples, but I can just give you one example to prove that this cross-cultural mission is a major theme in the book of Acts.
我们不去看，但是若是你稍微往前翻到《使徒行传》第十章的话。
But if we turn to Acts chapter 10,
你会知道路加在那边他其实主要描述着彼得怎么样去到哥利纽的家里面。
So actually, Luke was describing how Peter was called to the house of Cornelius.
一共有48节。
Actually, there are 48 verses.
描述这一件事情。
To describe this one event.
我们往下读到第11章的时候。
And as we continue to read chapter 11,
我们会发现其实这个彼得去到哥利纽的家的这个事件呢延伸到第11章。
So actually, this event of Paul, of Peter visiting the house of Cornelius, was extended until chapter 11.
因为彼得去到了哥利纽的家。
Because Peter went to the house of Cornelius.
在耶路撒冷有很多人就因此不满。
So many people were dissatisfied and unhappy at Jerusalem.
路加就在第11章的第一节一直到第18节就描述了一个在耶路撒冷一个非常重要的一个会议。
Therefore, Luke uses verse 1-18 to describe a very important meeting at Jerusalem.
第10章有48节。
So chapter 10 has 48 verses.
第11章的前半段有18节。
And the first section of chapter 11 has 18 verses.
也就是说路加用了66节的经文。
In other words, Luke uses 66 verses
来描述一个事件。
To describe one event.
来描述一个事件。
To describe one event.
我没有错的话。
If I was not wrong.
在整个使徒行传里面没有另外一个事件是用那么长的篇幅来描述。
The author Luke did not use any more verses to describe any other events.
我想大家都听得懂我的意思。
So I'm sure you understand what I mean.
有可能是礼拜五晚上大家一个礼拜上班很辛苦很累。
Maybe this is
好像讲得太学术性了一点。
Maybe this is Friday night and we've been working for an entire week.
你稍微忍耐，求神帮助我们能够集中精神。
May the Lord help us so that we can focus.
但是这是我想一个很重要的一个观察。
But this is a very important observation.
因为这个让我们看到其实这个信息，这个跨文化，这个野象的这个信息，在使徒行传里面是一个很重要的一个信息。
That we get to see that this is an important message in the book of Acts about cross-cultural mission.
路加特别强调着66节彼得去到哥利纽的家。
Luke uses 66 verses to describe the event that Peter went to the house of Cornelius.
描述着上帝的心意不是要当初的教会指向犹太人传福音。
To describe to us that God's heart was not for his church to only preach the gospel to the Jews.
乃是也要早期的教会更加成为一个野象的教会。
Because God's desire is that the early church will also preach to the Greeks.
我就思想这个指向野象的这一个对比。
As I meditate on the contrast of to the Jews only and also to the Greeks.
我不瞒大家说，我觉得这个是我们华人教会其实还没有真正面对到的一个挑战。
I believe this is a challenge that we Chinese churches have not faced yet.
神给我有将近30年在华人教会里面服侍。
The Lord led me to serve in Chinese churches for 30 years.
我发现有很多的华人教会还只是单单停留在第19节的指向里面。
And I noticed many Chinese churches right now still stay at verse 19.
无论是在近处的福音工作也好。
Whether it's the gospel in the community,
在远方的福音工作也好
or overseas or faraway mission,
常常我发现我们华人教会是停留在19节的指向的这样的一个理念的当中。
I noticed that many Chinese churches are still staying at verse 19 to preach only to
这个我想会不会多多少少也是一个所谓 ethnic church， 一个族群教会会无形中面对到的一个挑战。
So this is probably a challenge facing almost all ethnic churches.
因为我们的对象就是某一个民族、一个语言、一个族群。
Because our target is probably particular race or ethnic group or language.
所以我们很容易就被这样的一种专一的一种服事的方向，我们就无形中被它限制住了。
So unknowingly, we are being limited by our focus.
使得我们很难能够在神所设立我们的这一个环境里面，我们能够越出这种族群的所谓的 glass ceiling 或者 glass walls， 我们能够进入到社区里面来把福音也传给非我们族群的人。
Therefore, it is hard for us to get over the barrier of the glass ceiling or the glass walls so that we can reach out to the communities and share the gospel to racial groups that are not ours.
我们就看到华人教会常常是在一个指向的一个心态的里头。
So we notice that Chinese churches are often fall into the pattern of sharing the gospel only to our ethnic groups.
但是我十分的相信，其实神的心意不是要我们华人教会只做一个指向的教会。
But I understand that God's heart is not for our Chinese churches to be a church that only share the gospel to our own ethnic group.
乃是我们也能够成为一个野向的教会。
But we can become a church that also share the gospel to other ethnic groups.
无论是在近处也好，
whether it is in our community,
更加的是在远方的福音宣教工作上面，
or even far away mission fields.
我前年有机会去到哥斯达黎加。
2 years ago, I had a chance to visit Costa Rica.
去参加一个很特别的一个会议。
To attend a very special conference.
是一群拉丁美洲的教会信徒聚集在一起。
It was a gathering of Latin American saints.
他们说：“戴牧师，你可不可以来跟我们分享？”
They asked me if I would share a message with them.
我说：“你们的主题是什么呢？”
Then I asked them, "What's your?"
说我们的主题是中国。
And then they say their theme is China.
我们希望能够思想拉丁美洲的教会怎么样能够更有效地参与在向华人、中国人传福音的工作上面。
We want to see how we Latin American churches can better involve ourselves to share the gospel to Chinese.
我印象很深刻，有四五天的时间我们聚在一起。
I was really impressed for about 4 or 5 days we gathered together.
我也跟他们分享今天整个中国华人教会面对到的一些在福音上面的一些挑战。
I also share with them the challenges that Chinese churches face in sharing the gospel.
最后一个聚会的时候。
The last night, the last meeting.
那一个筹备的同工之前就来问我，戴牧师有没有可能今天晚上有一个呼召。
The conference co-worker asked me, Pastor Taylor, is it possible for you to make an altar call tonight?
请那些有负担向去中国呀，或者向华人传福音，让他们站起来，把自己奉献给主。
That we will make an altar call for those who are willing to offer themselves to share the gospel to the Chinese.
那天晚上我们就有一个呼召。
So that night we had an altar call.
我心里面很感动，八十多个人站起来。
I was really moved.About 80 people stood up.
80多个人站起来把自己奉献给上帝，把福音传到我们华人当中。
More than 80 people stood up to offer themselves so that they can share the gospel to the Chinese.
但是当我看到他们站起来的时候，我不瞒大家说，我心里面也有内疚。
I would tell you the truth, be honest, that when I saw them stood up, I felt kind of guilty too.
因为我从来没有听过我们华人教会举办任何的研讨会来思想我们怎么样把福音传给拉丁美洲。
Because I've never heard any Chinese church, having a conference to talk about how we can share the gospel to the Latin Americans.
我参加过一些聚会，是思想我们怎么样在拉丁美洲把福音传给在拉丁美洲的华人。
Because I have been to conferences to discuss how we can share the gospel to the Chinese people residing in Latin America.
但是我从来没有参加过一个聚会是来探讨我们华人教会怎么样能够把福音更有策略性的传到拉丁美洲人的当中。
But I never been to a conference to discuss how we Chinese can strategically share the gospel to Latin American people.
大概我想需要声明，就是有这种聚会，大概他们也不会请我，因为我根本不了解拉丁美洲。
But then, one disclaimer is that maybe even such, there are such conferences, but they will not invite me because I know nothing about Latin America.
所以有可能的确有这个聚会，只是代际中，对不起，你不懂，你不了解，你不明白，不知道。
But maybe there were such conferences, but me, James Taylor, did not understand anything about it.
我心里面那一天很大的震撼。
But that day, my heart was greatly impacted.
我觉得这是我们华人教会在这个时代需要突破的地方。
So this is something that we Chinese church should have a breakthrough.
对不起啊，今天晚上有可能踩到了几个地雷。
Sorry, tonight I might have stepped on some mines.
但是我觉得今天若是我们一直停留在指向的一个策略里面的话。
But today, if we only stay within this only kind of strategy.
我觉得求神怜悯我们华人教会。
May the Lord have mercy on our Chinese
church. 若是我们的意向只是向骨肉之亲传福音。
If our vision is only limited to share the gospel to our fellow Chinese.
为什么神会把我们放在 Santa Clara 这个地方？
Why would God put us in Santa Clara?
是的，这里有很多的华人，没有错。
Yes, indeed, there are many Chinese here.
但是有更多的非华人。
But there are also more non-Chinese.
而一个在越来越离开上帝的一个国家里面。
And we are also in a nation that is departing from God.
我觉得我们华人教会在美国，我们有责任把福音传回给美国人。
I believe that we Chinese have this responsibility to share the gospel back to the Americans.
但是我们回来看这个野指向跟野向好不好？
Okay, let's go back to look at this contrast.Only and also the two strategies.
我把我自己的一个观察提供给大家做一个参考。
I share with you my observation.
有一些圣经的专家，他们看这两节。
Some theologians they study these two verses.
他们自己的解释是在第二十节，这一些居比路和古利奈人，他们去到了安提阿，他们向希利尼人传福音。这一些人其实是第二代的犹太人。
Some Bible scholar says that these people who came from Cyrus and Cyrene, they went to Antioch and shared the gospel to the Greeks. They're probably the second generation Jews.
他们会讲犹太话。
Yes, they speak, they probably spoke Jewish.
对不起，希伯来文，不是犹太话。他们会讲希伯来文。
Yes, they spoke Hebrew.
但是因为他们是油桥不是华桥是油桥他们是在海外出生或者长大的犹太人。
But then they were born outside of Jerusalem, so
因此他们不仅是能够讲犹太话希伯来文。
So not only that they spoke Hebrew,
他们也能够讲很流利的希腊文。
They could probably speak fluently the Greek.
也因此若是要跨文化的话其实这一群人比那个第一代的犹太人来得容易做这个动作。
So actually, in order to cross the cultural barrier, it's much easier for the second generation Jews than the first generation Jews.
大家了解我的意思吗？
Do you understand what I'm saying?
我想你们可以猜得出来我下面要讲的话了。
So you can probably guess what I'm going to share with you next.
今天有可能我们所谓的 OBC, 我们只能够做19节的指向犹太人传福音。
So today, the first generation, OBC.
OBC,
the...
Overseas born Chinese.
Overseas born Chinese.
你们 OBC 不知道是什么。那你们 ABC 知不知道是什么Overseas born Chinese, 就是那些从台湾从中国大陆香港移民到美国的这一群人。
So the OBC, the overseas born Chinese, they're from China, Taiwan and Hong Kong.
你说戴牧师啊你要我跟我的同工讲英文传福音我真的是讲不出来我很困难啊。
So you might say, Pastor Taylor, it's so hard for me to share the gospel to my coworkers, I just can't say it.
这些我都能够了解。
I can understand.
但是会不会在这边其实神把一群 ABC 放在我们的当中帮助我们的教会能够从19节进入到20节。
But yet, at the same time, God has placed some ABC in our midst so that they can help us to cross the cultural barrier.
这个使得我觉得在这个时代我们华人教会要更多的看重我们下一代的角色。
Therefore, we have to pay close attention to the role that our second generation plays.
若是我们认为我们的教会只不过是一个很好的一个 babysitting 的一个机制的话，
If we only think that our church can be a good babysitting system,
我担心我们会一直就是停留在第十九的指向。
Then I'm afraid that we will always stay at verse 19.
但是神的心意不是要我们停留在指向。
But then God's heart is not for us to stay at verse 19 only.
乃是要我们的教会能够迈向二十节的野象。
But God's heart is for our church to cross over the barrier and enter into verse 20.
安提阿教会的起始。
So the start of church.
我们看到首先是从他们的四散。
So it started with them being scattered.
第二我们看到是从他们的野象。
And also,It's because of they also share the gospel to the Greeks.
第三，其实当我们看这六节的时候，
As we study these six verses,
我发现一件很有意思的事情。
There's something very interesting.
当然，后来耶路撒冷的教会差派巴拿巴去安提阿。
So the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch.
但是我们也都知道，其实巴拿巴不是当时耶路撒冷教会的第一代的领袖。
But actually, Barnabas was not the first generation leader at the Church of Jerusalem.
他不是一个所谓的使徒。
He was not so-called apostle.
乃是他是第二代，或者甚至我想应该就是第二代的教会领袖。
He was probably a leader in the second generation.
但是我觉得更特别的就是那些把福音传到安提阿的，却是一群无名的传道人。
But what's amazing is that, The people who shared the gospel to Antioch was not people famous.
还是应该这样说，他们是无名的传道的人。
So they were like anonymous, they're not famous.
他们不是使徒们。
They were not apostles.
他们是一群跟随耶稣的门徒们。
They were just disciples who follow Jesus.
若是我们能够用今天的描述这样说。
Or maybe use a modern day language.
他们不是传道人。
They were not pastors.
但是他们却是传道的人。
But they were people who preached the gospel.
这两个不太一样。
You see the difference here?
今天不是每一个人都神呼召做传道人。
Because not everyone is being called by God to become full-time preachers.
是的，我同意。
Yes, I agree.
但是我更加的笃信，其实我们每一个人都是神呼召做传道的人。
But I firmly believe that every one of us is being called to preach the gospel.
其实今天晚上若是去分享整个宣教趋势的话，
If I want to share with you the entire trend of the mission,
我们会发现其实传道的人今天在宣教的工作上面是非常的重要。
Actually, those people who share the gospel are they play a very important role in the mission field.
全世界有很多的地方是传道人没有办法去。
There are many places in the world that the preachers cannot reach.
单单在亚洲17亿 1.7 billion 17亿的人住在宣教师传道人没有办法去的地方。
Only in Asia alone, about 1.7 billion people live in areas that the preachers cannot reach.
虽然传道人不能去。
Even though preachers and pastors cannot go there.
但是传道的人可以去。
But yet, disciples who preach the gospel can go there.
基督徒。
Christians.
透过职场。
Through workplace.
透过生活的见证。
Through testimonies in their daily life.
能够在这一些地方为主做美好的见证，重要的工作。
They can testify for the Lord and then do something very wonderful.
所以我们在这六节里面，我们至少看到这三个不同的层面。
So through these six verses, we get to see these three things.
教会的起始。
The starting, the start of a church.
第一是因为他们四散。
It's because they were scattered.
第二因为他们野象。
And also they share the gospel to the Greeks.
第三
Thirdly,
也因为传道的人把福音带到那个地方。
It's because they share the gospel, therefore they carry the gospel to that place.
我很快顺便提另外一点，我们就到下面一段。
And I'd like to mention another point before we go to the next.
我请大家特别注意，其实他们把福音传到安提阿的时候
，When they share the gospel to Antioch，
他们不是把福音传去而已。
Not just they share the gospel only.
他们不是让人信主而已。
They did not just bring people to believe in the Lord only.
那是大家有没有注意第二十一节跟第二十四节都用同一个词，他们归服了主。
But they also turned to the Lord. That's in verse 21 and verse 24.
也就是说，他们不单单是把一个拯救灵魂、一个得救的信息传去。
So not only that they share with them the message of salvation.
他也把这一个关乎着神或者耶稣主在我们生命当中的主权的信息也传到那个地方。
They also share with them the message of the Lord's sovereignty to them.
其实若是一个人单单信耶稣，其实不稀奇。
It is not a big deal if someone just believe in Jesus.
雅各说，其实连鬼魔都相信。
Because in the book of James, James says that even the devil believed.
我们不单单是要信耶稣。
Not only that we will believe in Jesus.
我们也要在信的里面，我们要归服在主的主权下面。
But in faith, we ought to turn to the Lord and surrender to His sovereignty.
教会的起始。
That's the start of a church.
教会的起始。
The start of a church.
我们很快看到第二十五跟二十六节。
Let's quickly look at the second passage.
因为我们在这边看见路加紧接着描述着一个教会的成熟。
Immediately, Luke here describes the maturing process of a church.
一个教会的成熟。
Maturing of a church.
其实二十五节、二十六节是我在《使徒行传》里面非常喜欢的两节经文。
These are my one of my two favorite verses in the Bible. In the
当然我们知道在原文的圣经里面没有分章，没有分节。
We know that in the original Bible, in the Greek Bible, there's no division of chapters or verses.
这是后来人加进去的，帮助我们翻圣经比较容易翻。
It was added later on in order for us to be able to locate a particular place.
所以我们不要太在乎这个章节的分段。
Therefore, let's not too caught on the divisions of chapters and verses.
因为我们发现有的时候它的分法其实会误导人。
Because sometimes the division might mislead us in the interpretation.
那虽然是如此，我相信还是神许可这件事情发生。
But yet the Lord allows it to happen this way.
而当我特别注意二十五、二十六节的时候
，As I pay attention to verses 25 and 26,
我就发现一个很有意思的事情。
I discover something very interesting.
我没有错的话，二十五节是在《使徒行传》里面最短的一节。
That verse 25 is the shortest verse in the book of Acts.
最短的一节。
The shortest verse.
而二十六节呢，却是在《使徒行传》里面最长的一节。
And verse 26 is the longest verse in the book of Acts.
这有没有什么属灵的重要？我还没有揣摩出来。
I don't know if it has some spiritual significance. I don't know.
但我觉得很有意思的一件事情。
But one thing that's very interesting.
这两节其实若是我们能够花更多时间来看的话
，If we can spend more time to study these two verses，
我们会发现，其实这两节其实充分着描述，不单单是在教会里面我们整个服事的一个蓝图。
That these two verses describes a blueprint of church services.
其实在宣教、传福音、拆船上面也提供我们一个非常重要的一个策略的一个图画。
It also shows us an important strategy of mission.
我们看到教会不单单是起手人数增多而已。
So we see that not only churches started and the member increases, the number
of members. 神的心意也是要他的教会成熟起来。
But God's heart is also for His church to mature.
不单单是教会。
Not only for church.
亲爱的弟兄姐妹们
，Dear brothers and sisters,
在你我的灵命当中，神的心意也是要我们在信仰上面成熟起来。
God's heart is also for us to mature in our faith.
彼得在世上或者在圣经里面给我们留下的最后一句话。
The last words that Peter said in the scripture.
彼得后书三章十八节，知不知道他说什么呢
？Second Peter chapter 3 verse 18.
他说：“你们却要在救主耶稣基督的恩典和知识上有什么？有 长进。
That you will grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
你们要在主耶稣基督的知识上、认识上面，以及在耶稣基督的恩典上面要有长进。
That grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
你我的生命是不是一个长进的生命呢？
Are our life a life of a growth?
我们的灵命有没有在长进？
Is our spiritual life growing?
我们对神的话有没有更深的认识？
Do we have a deeper knowledge of the word of the Lord?
我们有没有一个渴慕来更认识上帝的一个心智呢？
Do we have a desire and hunger to know God more?
大卫说，如鹿渴慕溪水一样，我渴慕耶和华。
David says, my heart longs for the Lord as the deer panteth for water.
有一个人说，很可惜今天在教会不是一大堆鹿，而是一大堆骆驼。
And then some says, sadly, today at church, they're not a bunch of deers, but camels.
我们知道一个鹿它天天要喝水。
Because the deer needs to drink from the water every day.
但是我们知道一个骆驼它可以一个礼拜，礼拜天喝一次就喝得饱饱的，可以维持一个礼拜。
But then a camel can just drink once on Sunday and it will last throughout the week.
我担心不是你们的教会，你们都是鹿，我担心很多其他的教会都是一大堆骆驼。
I'm not saying your church, you are all deers, but then maybe there are a lot of camels at other churches.
我们有渴慕对上帝的认识。
Do we desire and thirst for knowledge of the Lord?
你有没有看到保罗这样的一个人？
We see Paul.
虽然他灵命到了那样的一个境界，
even though his life was so mature,
但是到了最后晚年的时候，他却仍然说：“我不以为我已经得着。”
But yet, when he was in advanced in age, he says, "I do not consider I have already obtained."
乃是我继续的往前面奔跑。
But I continue to press on forward.
来认识耶稣基督。
To know Jesus Christ.
来经历到他复活的大能。
To experience the great power of his resurrection.
所以我们看到，不单单是他的起手，是他的成。成熟何等的重要。
But not only the start of a church is important, the maturing of a church is also important.
我们在这两节里面我们能够看到些什么呢？
What can we see from these two verses?
我想我看这两节第一个让我注意到的当然就是在教会也好或者在传福音工作上面团队服事的重要性。
From these two verses, we get to see the importance of team services.
当然这个讲到团队我们可以分享到很多。
Of course, we can talk a lot about teamwork.
但是我在这边，我特别羡慕巴拿巴这一个人。
Here, I especially admire Barnabas.
你会记得他被耶路撒冷的教会给了一个重要的一个任务使命。
He was commissioned by the Church of Jerusalem, a very important mission.
就是要去到安提阿去了解那边的情况是怎么样。
He was sent to Antioch to understand the condition of the church at Antioch.
我不晓得大家有没有特别注意到当他去到了安提阿他发现的事情。
I don't know if you ever pay attention what he discovered when he reached Antioch.
第23节就描述他到了安提阿他就看见神所赐的恩。
Verse 23 says that when he came, he has seen the grace of God.
哎呀，我特别在我的圣经里面把下面的三个字把它圈起来，他就欢喜。
And then he was glad. I circled it. He was glad.
We are glad that you listened to the program we edited, and we hope you may let your relatives and friends know the web address of Living in Jesus, www.livinginjesus.org, and invite them to listen too. May more people believe in Jesus.